Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Bird Construction conference call and webcast. We will begin with Teri McKibbon, President and Chief Executive Officer's presentation, which will be followed by a question and answer session. Analysts who wish to ask a question should have their webcast muted when dialing into the conference number provided. At any time during the presentation today, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad to be placed in the question queue. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. When you are ready for questions, you will be introduced into the conference in the order that you were received. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the webcast is being recorded. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star then zero. Before commencing with the conference call, the company reminds those present that certain statements which are made express management's expectations or estimates of future performance and thereby constitute forward-looking information. Forward-looking information is necessarily based on a number of estimates and assumptions that, while considered reasonable by management, are inherently subject to significant business, economic, and competitive uncertainties and contingencies. Management's formal comments and responses to any questions you might ask may include forward-looking information. Therefore, the company cautions today's participants that such forward-looking information involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause the actual financial results, performance, or achievements of the company to be materially different from the company's estimated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking information. Forward-looking information does not guarantee future performance. The company expressly disclaims its intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking information, which as a result of new information, events, or otherwise. In addition, our presentation today includes references to a number of financial measures which do not have standardized meanings under IFRS and may not be comparable with similar measures presented by other companies and are therefore considered non-GAAP measures. I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Teri McKibbon, President and CEO of Bird Construction.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. With me today is Wayne Gingrich, Bird's Chief Financial Officer. Today's call is focused on the transaction we announced at the close of market yesterday. The news release and presentation slides for today are posted on our website. Over the past year, Bird has continued to achieve significant milestones marked by margin expansion, robust revenue growth, and further diversification through organic growth and M&A. Yesterday, we were very pleased to announce that we had entered into a definitive share purchase agreement under which Bird will acquire Jacob Bros Construction for an estimated aggregate consideration of $135 million. This acquisition is a significant step forward in expanding our infrastructure business and provides immediate access to the BC infrastructure market, which is the largest in Western Canada. Over the next few slides, we'll walk through the market outlook, the profile of the acquired business, the benefits and structure of the transaction, the expected financial impact, and how this transaction will deliver value for all stakeholders. The demand for infrastructure and construction projects across Canada is significant, and BC is no different. It is the largest infrastructure market in Western Canada and a key market for Bird. The provincial and municipal governments in BC have committed substantial funds to various infrastructure projects, creating a robust pipeline of opportunities over the medium to long term. And our strategic acquisition of Jacob Bros further positions us to capitalize on these opportunities. BC's 2024 budget allocates over $43 billion for capital spending in the next 3 years, with a focus on transportation, health, education, and housing. Additionally, the City of Vancouver and Metro Vancouver Regional District are investing billions in housing, public facilities, and utility improvements, including water mains, reservoir, and wastewater management. There are significant modernization and expansion efforts underway across the transportation and power sectors the Vancouver International Airport has a $9 billion expansion underway until 2037, while the Port of Vancouver's $3 billion expansion will enhance its capacity and efficiency over the coming 6 years. BC Hydro is investing $1 billion in upgrades to the electrical grid in 2024, while their 10-year plan indicates over $36 billion in investments. There's also a focus on BC-produced critical minerals. The BC Mining Association reports that 16 proposed critical mineral mines represent a near-term investment of $36 billion. The combined strength of our existing operations and the civil infrastructure and special project capabilities of Jacob Brothers will enable us to pursue projects of varying size, complexity, and scope. The acquisition of Jacob Brothers will also allow us to cross-sell our combined self-performed services and offer more comprehensive solutions through the full project lifecycle to new and existing clients. Headquartered in Surrey, BC, Jacob Brothers is a privately owned civil infrastructure construction business with self-performed capabilities serving public and private clients across the region. The company has a highly skilled workforce of approximately 350 salaried and craft personnel who will continue to deliver their services under the Jacob Brothers brand while pursuing and providing support for additional projects through the Bird Team. They specialize in civil infrastructure and self-perform most work using an in-house team and a modern fleet of equipment. Examples of projects include airports, seaports, rail bridges and structures, earthworks, energy projects, and utilities. Additionally, Jacob Brothers delivers expertise in specialized projects that require innovative, purpose-built custom solutions and leverage their suite of comprehensive services. These projects range across sectors including healthcare, education, light industrial, and select retail and commercial. Jacob Brothers also leverages their large fleet of construction equipment for equipment rentals and performs maintenance at a state-of-the-art maintenance facility in South Surrey. The leadership team has built a strong people-first culture, recruiting for the long term and providing their employees with the tools they need to build successful projects and construction careers. Well aligned with Bird, the company focuses on engaging their people and cultivating an environment that promotes connectivity and employee satisfaction. In acknowledgement of this, Jacob Brothers has been recognized as a top employer in both BC and Canada in recent years. Perhaps most importantly, the company has a strong culture of safety and a proven track record of safe operations. The current leaders, Scott Jacob, President and CEO, Todd Jacob, COO, bring extensive experience and leadership to Bird. Both leaders will continue as part of the Bird executive team, leading our Western infrastructure business and Jacob Brothers. Over the next few slides, we'll highlight the alignments of Jacob Brothers projects with the significant outlook for infrastructure investment. Their experience and reputation, combined with important client relationships and self-performed capabilities, are well positioned for the demand trends and government and private spending we identified on slide 4. Jacob Brothers undertakes highway works of a significant scale, self-performing site works, concrete structures, utility relocates where required, and paving. Projects include significant interchanges, widening of highways, construction of multiple bridge and overpass structures. There's over $15 billion allocated over the next 3 years for transportation network upgrades in the region. The Jacob Brothers team has a range of significant airport-related projects. This includes projects such as the YVR South Airport Cargo Redevelopment. This project involves rearranging cargo facilities, extending an existing taxiway, and airfield rehabilitation works that include concrete demolition, pavement installation, and utility works. The company completes work directly for YVR, as well as other related airport and cargo infrastructure works for clients such as Air Canada. BC is also working to increase port capacity, improve trade infrastructure. Projects include the recently completed Centerm expansion project, which increases handling capacity at Canada's main Asia-Pacific entry port. Jacob Brothers worked in partnership on the construction of the container terminal expansion and improvements to the surrounding port road infrastructure for the Vancouver Fraser Port Authority. The company is also working with Bird on the BC Ferries Maintenance Facility project, which involves redeveloping existing facilities to expand capacity, with Jacob Brothers completing the civil works. significant spending and expansion plans for major critical mineral, mining, and LNG development are underway. BC's strategy to become a leading global supplier of responsibly produced critical minerals is aimed at supporting the demand for clean technologies like solar panels, batteries, and electric vehicles. Jacob brought their extensive experience to the Woodfibre LNG project, completing site prep, infrastructure removal, and other civil works, where Bird is also on site. Jacob's range of expertise makes him an ideal partner on major industrial and mining projects where they can complete early civil works for site development. They also have heavier civil capabilities, which is apparent through their work on the Heartland Landfill Aggregate Production Project, which involves heavy earth-moving, blasting, and aggregate production over 3 years. 2024, BC Hydro announced a revised 10-year capital plan, increasing investments to $36 billion from $24 billion. Jacob's specialized capabilities support hydro infrastructure upgrade projects, such as completing civil works and foundations for a 500 kV transmission line crossing the Fraser River, as well as more remote projects, such as the Box Canyon Hydroelectric Project, which involved the construction of multiple intake structures, a powerhouse, and ultimately a connection to BC's hydro grid. Jacob Brothers' role on sizable institutional projects, such as these two healthcare development projects, demonstrates the versatility of their civil expertise, again, bringing their early site works and civil infrastructure to projects of a significant size will continue to serve the demand for public facilities to support the growing population. Utility works are required across the Greater Vancouver area to rehabilitate and expand capacity to support growing communities. Significant investments are being directed to water, wastewater, and solid waste-related utilities. For example, once complete, the Gilbert Trunk Sewer Project will facilitate future maintenance, provide increased conveyance capacity to minimize backups and accommodate future growth for over 220,000 residents of Richmond. The outlook for the construction sector remains positive through 2032, driven by energy transition, population growth, and infrastructure modernization demands. Specialized projects such as works at a rail yard involve EV charging pads, electrical and substation pads, and extensive underground electrical and concrete work. These works ultimately support the transition to electric vehicles for intermodal use in urban areas. It's an exciting time in the BC market, and our strong combined team is well positioned to capitalize on the significant opportunities that exist. Wayne will now cover the transaction overview.
Aligned with our approach for past acquisitions, we believe the anticipated financial contributions of Jacob Brothers and the consideration mix are beneficial to both Bird shareholders and Jacob Brothers principals. Importantly, the transaction maintains Bird's healthy balance sheet to support our strategy and future growth. The transaction, with estimated aggregate consideration of $135 million, has an implied purchase multiple of 3.7 times Jacob Brothers' projected full-year 2024 adjusted EBITDA, exclusive of future synergies. The estimated aggregate consideration consists of approximately 1.49 million Bird common shares issued to the principals of Jacob Brothers. This is based on the volume-weighted average trading price of Bird common shares on the TSX for the 10 trading days prior to June 10th. The consideration also includes approximately $97 million of cash funded through existing cash on hand in short and long-term debt under Bird's credit facilities. Bird will also assume an estimated $4 million of equipment debt. In connection with the transaction, Bird has also expanded its revolving credit facility to $300 million, an increase of $50 million, and extended the maturity to 2027. 10% of long-term, 10% of term debt is repayable on an annual basis, which is consistent with our prior agreement. Other than the assumption of equipment debt, Jacob Brothers will be acquired on a cash-free, debt-free basis. We anticipate the transaction to close early in Q3 2024, subject to regulatory approvals and other customary closing conditions, including approval under the Competition Act.
Turning to slide 16, the acquisition of Jacob Brothers is quite compelling for several key strategic, operational, and financial reasons. This transaction advances Bird's strategy to build out a national full-service infrastructure vertical. Over the past few years, we have strategically diversified our revenue sources through organic growth and strategic M&A, while at the same time, we have significantly enhanced our profitability. Jacob Brothers Self-Perform Civil Infrastructure business expects full-year 2024 revenues of approximately $300 million. The company has a robust project backlog of approximately $350 million with significant projects across multiple sectors. The company's strong market reputation, highly skilled team, and proven track record for delivering complex projects to long-term clients complement Bird's similar track record for client service and strong project delivery. Together, their self-performed services along with special projects focus is expected to enhance Bird's adjusted EBITDA margin and support further value creation with anticipated 10% EPS accretion on a full-year basis. As with past acquisitions, we are heavily focused on a post-acquisition growth, and we see significant upside potential from cross-selling opportunities and other synergies in the combined business. Scott and Todd have proven their leadership and ability to grow the company since founding it in 2008, and together the two companies will have a wider range of services and solutions to offer our clients. With that, I'll hand it back to Wayne to discuss our combined operations.
Thank you, Terry. As part of our 2023 annual reporting, we updated our annual revenue breakdown to better align with Bird's position in the industry and focus on the industrial, buildings, and infrastructure markets. At the time, we noted there is still a significant runway of expansion and diversification opportunities that will continue to support margin accretion and drive Bird's growth strategy over the coming years. In line with this strategy, the acquisition of Jacob Brothers immediately grows our underweighted infrastructure vertical. Looking at our 2023 figures as reported, plus the estimated full year 2024 revenue from Jacob Brothers shows growth in infrastructure from approximately 9% in 2019 to 21% on a pro forma basis. This acquisition advances the diversification and growth that has been a strategic priority and a key element of our 2022 to 2024 strategic plan. Continued long-term earnings accretion in the business is supported by robust demand in our target sectors and macro trends such as the energy transition, population growth, and infrastructure modernization, along with the significant spending in BC that Terry touched on earlier. Future growth expectations will be driven by cross-selling opportunities, similar to Bird's approach and success with past acquisitions. Historically, the two companies' pursuits have not overlapped. However, we have partnered in the past to deliver an expanded offering to our clients. This business combination will allow both companies to access new clients and provide new services to existing clients at a greater scale. By leveraging the knowledge, insight, and experience gained from our successful past acquisitions, we are confident in similar success with Jacob Brothers. This is a highly complementary business combination. As we mentioned earlier, Jacob Brothers is expected to significantly contribute to Bird's top and bottom line with anticipated full year 2024 revenue of approximately $300 million and adjusted EBITDA of $37 million. Here we've laid out the pro forma revenue and EBITDA estimates based on analyst consensus as of May 31, 2024. Pro forma revenue for full year 2024 is 9% higher than the current consensus estimate, while pro forma adjusted EBITDA represents a 21% increase. Jacob Brothers' strong margins support Bird's strategic focus on margin accretion, with the acquisition expected to add 60 basis points to the adjusted EBITDA margin on an annualized basis. As we've discussed throughout the presentation, this acquisition aligns with Bird's M&A criteria, which we've articulated on slide 19. This acquisition supports our strategy of targeting high-performing, culturally aligned, complementary businesses with strong cross-selling opportunities and developing a national civil infrastructure vertical. The acquisition facilitates sector and geographic growth, enhancing Bird's presence in BC, which boasts a robust medium to long-term outlook for infrastructure spending. We anticipate further upside post-acquisition, driven by cross-selling opportunities, strong market demand, and the combined company's ability to pursue projects of varying size and scale, some of which wouldn't have been accessible to either company separately. The acquisition also meets Bird's financial criteria. Jacob Brothers is accretive to EBITDA margins and EPS, providing a significant boost to revenue, supported by strong backlog. Bird has leveraged its strong financial position to complete the acquisition with a targeted balance of equity and cash. Post-acquisition, we expect our debt ratios to remain consistent with our long-standing practice of maintaining low leverage with future optionality to continue both organic and inorganic growth. Our capital allocation remains balanced, blending M&A, smart capital investments, and returning capital to shareholders through dividends. Bird will continue to emphasize capital investments in equipment, productivity, and technology enhancements, which will grow to include the fleet that will be gained through the acquisition. Future M&A will remain an area of focus for Bird. We will continue to look for opportunities that fit our M&A criteria. I'll now hand it back to Terry to wrap up.
In summary, the acquisition of Jacob Brothers is highly complementary to our existing business, supports our long-term growth strategy, and established Bird in British Columbia's high-demand infrastructure market. This immediately grows our infrastructure vertical, adds scale and diversification in the region. In addition, the combined company will benefit from Jacob Brothers' highly experienced and skilled team. Through increased exposure to key secular tailwinds, the combined company will be positioned for opportunities related to electrification, the growing demand for low carbon and green infrastructure solutions, and transportation infrastructure requirements. In addition to increasing Bird's full service, self-performed civil and special projects expertise, we anticipate that the acquisition will support margin expansion through an improved mix of complex work, robust backlog, and a fleet of modern equipment. The acquisition creates value with an anticipated 10% adjusted EPS accretion and the potential to realize further upside through cross-selling opportunities and other synergies. Finally, while contributing to significant growth, the transition structure preserves Bird's strong balance sheet and maintains ample liquidity to support our capital allocation strategy and continued growth in the future. With that, we'll hand the call back to the operator and take your questions.
Thank you. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Analysts who wish to ask a question may press star then one on their telephone keypad to join the question queue. You'll hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Anyone who has a question may press star then one at this time. Our first question is from Yuri Lynk with Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Good morning and congrats on what looks like a very compelling acquisition.
Thank you.
Terry, maybe just back it up a little bit and give us a bit of the history here. When were you first introduced to Scott and Todd? How did that come about? Have you worked with them on any projects?
Yes. So we have a close relationship with them through our BC district. Our leader in the BC market has known them for many years, and I was introduced about 18 to 24 months ago, and then it has kind of evolved, you know, over time. You know, it fits the criteria that we look for. We look for opportunities where, you know, an ownership team is looking to merge with a larger organization to allow them to continue to grow and into a larger scale. You know, obviously we were exclusive through the period and as such reached, you know, the conclusion yesterday, which we're obviously very excited about and very excited to welcome their team to the new combined entity.
Can you give us some sense as to the recent historical performance of Jacob Brothers in terms of revenue and how that's kind of evolved over the last 3-5 years?
Yeah, it's been pretty consistent. Quite honestly, it's been, and that was what was, you know, quite attractive to us, you know, just the consistency of the overall business. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to be involved in a lot of acquisitions throughout my career. And this one would be certainly among the top in terms of an organization that just runs at such a highly professional level. Everything they do, their sites, their offices, just the way they're set up is a really impressive first-class operation. And that was really exciting for me as I got to know them. And these two leaders operate on a level of professionalism that, you know, is just tier one. and they were looking for, you know, an opportunity to have a more diversified, you know, entity to work with. So we're quite excited.
Okay, sounds good. I've got a couple others, but I'll hop back in the queue and come back for them if they're not answered. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from Jacob Bout with CIBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Terry and Wayne. This is Rahul on for Jacob.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning. So I had a question on synergies. You mentioned that, you know, there should be significant cross-selling opportunities and noted a number of new clients like the Vancouver International Airport, BC Hydro, and Fortis. Could you provide a bit more detail on the cross-selling opportunities you envision, and how soon do you expect to see these opportunities arise?
Well, we've referenced certainly some of the work we've currently got underway. We've got other projects that we were partnered on that we're in pursuit of across these various market sectors. I think we're excited about, you know the plethora of markets that they're already in, combined with the markets we're already in. And I think it's just a broad array of things. We also want to continue to hold the relationships that they have with their existing customers as well, and that's important that they can continue to be a tier one civil contractor to some of the major clients that they have that may or may not involve Bird. So we also we want that ability, not dissimilar to other businesses that we own.
Right, right. No, that's helpful. And maybe just from a project contract type and risk perspective, how does Jacob Bros compare to the standalone business? I guess another way of asking that is do you still see about 75% of combined backlog to be collaborative project contract types?
Yeah, we haven't spent a lot of time on that yet, but obviously they perform a lot of work that would be under government-oriented contracts that have a lot of consistency to them. They typically have, you know, a high percentage of work that's unipriced. I've spent my whole career in that sector, so obviously I have a lot of experience in that area. So we like the risk profile. We think it fits really nicely into the things we're currently doing. We also see the emergence in a major way in BC with alliance-type contracts, IPD contracts that we've got currently underway in the province, and progressive design build target type opportunities. And we have an extensive resume on that, which we expect will be an important aspect, you know, to Jacob moving forward to have that resume.
Right, right. Appreciate the responses. I'll pass it over. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Chris Murray with ATB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So Terry, just following on maybe on that last good morning. Following on that last question, just thinking about, you know, where you're at today, I think you made the comment that there were some projects that now you're starting to look at that, you know, and probably part of the rationale for the combination is either yourselves or Jacob independently maybe couldn't bid for certain things. Are there larger scale projects that you're thinking about or different styles of project that now open up? And are there certain aspects or elements of the self-performed business that, you know, Bird brings to Jacob or vice versa that you know, you can maybe leverage outside of BC?
Yeah, I think so. Like when you think about, you know, the emergence of these collaborative contracts, and we would have the highest number of collaborative contracts by far in the country. And you think about how BC is moving in that direction quite extensively with larger projects. We're quite comfortable with those, especially with the addition of Jacob Brothers, because they add a major component of those projects. So we're quite comfortable with larger scale when they're in a collaborative framework. And in that sense, you know, the combined team and as importantly, are a more attractive partner for others that are in that that area as well. Often these very large projects have got have got partnerships that are established, so we become a more attractive partner with the combination of the various things we do, and I look forward to those opportunities. But I think this is, over time, this has just kind of evolved. We've been doing more and more work together already and have been for a number of years, and looking at other, irrespective of this, because our teams weren't aware this was playing out. So they were working with the Jacob Brothers company quite extensively. And then obviously we were able to announce it yesterday, but it was a very small group that was aware that this was underway on both sides, so it was an exciting day yesterday for various teams of both Jacob Brothers and ourselves.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so we've got also a few questions just about the transaction structure and some details. So maybe, I don't know if you or Wayne want to hit on these, but I guess the first thing to think about, you've given us some financial metrics, but just in terms of either synergies, you've highlighted revenue synergies, certainly, and that seems to be the driver here. But on the cost side, when we think about SG&A for the business, you talked about the fact that it was a very well-run business, but wondering if there's any SG&A synergies or other costs that we should be thinking about in terms of integration.
I think at this point, we're really focused on the cross-selling side. Obviously, it was a very small group that we worked with to this point, on the Jacob Brothers side. So over time, we'll see. But the intent is, this is a really well-run business, and you can tell from the margins. This business has got a tier one team to be performing at the levels they've been performing at for the last number of years, over 5 years at this level. So for us, it's more about the cross-selling synergies than it is about cost synergies. I think there'll be complementary, services that, I always find with acquisitions, we learn as much from them as they learn from us. So, and that's how we're going to approach it. And we don't have any targets in mind. I think there'll be some things, obviously, that'll improve, with just the scale that we have, in many areas. But maybe, Wayne, you can add a little bit more color. But that's kind of how we're looking at it. It's important that we are looking at this as, status quo, which is important.
Yeah, I agree, Terry. This is a high-performing, business, and we're really excited to have the team members of Jacob Brothers join with Bird. There's probably some things like, Bird's insurance program. We might have better volume discounts, for example. So there's going to be those types of things that come up. But we don't. This transaction is not built on cost synergies. It's built on the growth that we think we can have in the business and the cross selling. It's a good team, and we're excited to have them join the company.
Okay, great. Maybe a couple other questions. One, just looking at their profile, they have I call it a real estate marketing piece of the business where they kind of, it looks like they do kind of build and then lease and rent warehousing space, things like that. Is that also going to be included with the transaction, or is that getting carved out?
No, that's carved out.
Okay. And then finally, Wayne, any initial thoughts on purchase price allocation? I would assume there'll be a lot of fixed assets given the equipment fleets, but any thoughts around that would be helpful.
Yeah, we haven't disclosed anything yet on purchase price allocation, but it's what you expect it to be. I mean, there's certainly going to be a good level of working capital to be able to operate the business. There's a really nice fleet of equipment. We'll do a fair market value adjustment of that. As we do our opening balance sheet. There's going to be the usual intangible assets. So you think about a value placed on customer relationships, backlog margin, the brand is very valuable, to us, and we expect to continue to use that brand, going forward. So we'll place a value on those things, and obviously goodwill will be the difference.
Okay. All right. I'll get back in queue. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Michael Tupholme with TD Cowen. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, and congratulations on the acquisition.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In your prepared remarks, you talked a fair bit about the favorable end market tailwinds that are benefiting Jacob Brothers. I guess I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more specifically about the revenue growth outlook for the acquired business and if you expect it to generate similar type of revenue growth in 2024 to that which you were forecasting for standalone Bird.
I think it's early days to, you know, to speak to that. I think we're certainly seeing some really unique opportunities emerging, but I think we'd like to get a little more time under our belt to, you know, to see how things evolve. But, you know, in reality, could achieve those levels, but I think early days, we probably have more color in our second quarter, you know, to that.
Okay, fair enough. We'll wait for that. And then in terms of the mix within the business, I think you mentioned, Terry, there's a fair bit of public sector exposure in the release. You talk about, you know, exposure to both private and public sector. So just wondering if you can be a little bit more specific about how that breakdown looks.
Yeah, I would just guess. It's we haven't done the analysis of that, but it's probably 70-30. Probably what it is, like they do a lot of, and this would be Crown Corporation work where you're working for airports and working for, you know, ports and you're working for highway transportation. So a lot of government, and we like that. Obviously, we like to continue to have a blended mix, but I'm guessing it's probably 70-30.
Okay. And then in terms of Bird's strategic objective to create a national civil infrastructure platform, this acquisition is clearly a big step forward in that regard. Wondering though if you can comment on the other regions in your business that you'd look to potentially or want to look to potentially bolster in terms of your civil infrastructure presence, and I guess sort of as a follow on to that, is that something that you would likely do through further M&A or with sort of this presence here in BC and with the presence you have in Ontario in civil infrastructure, could you do that organically to fill in some of the gaps?
I think it'll be a mix of both. The existing team at Jacob Brothers has historically also worked in Alberta, so they have experience in Alberta. So, you know, that's an opportunity that and other, you know, significant markets with that province and the way that province is growing. You know, we're very focused in Eastern Canada, you know, with the leverage off of the Dagmar acquisition and H.G. O'Connell from a number of years ago in both Quebec and Newfoundland and Labrador and Eastern Canada and Atlantic provinces as well. So we're well positioned. And then organically, we've moved, you know, some of the civil, industrial civil folks, you know, into Toronto, and they're active on some of the larger infrastructure projects in the GTA, which is, you know, obviously a monstrous market. But I think it'll be a mix as we go forward, as opportunities like this arise, you know, if they're in the format that we described, that they're obviously accretive to the targets we're setting. If we're in an exclusive arrangement where the owner really cares about where they're going and what's going to be the new partnership. That's why we don't participate in auctions. We don't want to acquire a business where the owner doesn't care who buys it. He just wants the highest price. You know, this was not that case.
So. Okay, that's very helpful. And then maybe just lastly, Wayne did mention that, you know, acquisition growth does remain a key part of the company's strategy. I guess I'm just wondering, though, with this acquisition, is there a need to pause while you integrate, or if something else attractive were to present itself in the relatively near term, could you act on additional acquisition opportunities nearer term?
Yeah, it's like we certainly are always careful and approach, you know, opportunities in an opportunistic fashion. We've got a well-oiled machine here to respond to things and obviously a very strong balance sheet. So again, we're opportunistic but you know, we're not on a burning platform to find M&A deals. We were very, very selective. We say no a lot. And as such, you know, the types of things we do are carefully, you know, prepared, carefully matured. with strong support from our board.
Okay, thank you. I will turn it over.
The next question is from Ian Gillies with Stifel. Please go ahead.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Morning.
There's obviously some very solid EPS accretion coming from the deal. As we think and move into 2025, is there any reason why Bird would move off a dividend payout ratio of, call it, 30% of earnings?
We've disclosed, you know, historically that we're targeting a 33% payout ratio and you know, retaining two-thirds of net income to support growth in the business. And, you know, we haven't come off of that in Q1, and obviously we were working on a diligence on this transaction through Q1. So, you know, right now, until we say otherwise, that's our expectation.
And it's something we discuss on a quarterly basis, you know, quite extensively with our board.
Okay. Maybe switching gears, over the course of time, I tend there finds to be some skepticism around cross-selling and revenue synergies. In this instance, I believe they're probably real, but I guess, are you able to provide any tangible examples, whether it be from the Dagmar acquisition or Stuart Olson, where you've been able to execute that and maybe some learnings and how you apply it here?
Yeah, so Dagmar is a good example where, you know, we acquired the business. You know, the business has more than doubled, you know, since we've acquired it a couple of years ago, and was a key catalyst for us to enter into a, you know, a very large infrastructure project here in the GTA. Without the Dagmar resume and having that catalyst, that wouldn't have been possible. So we just see the same, you know, type of catalyst here for future projects that evolve, but across a broader spectrum, because it's, you know, considerably larger, and also it has a broader array of, you know, of capabilities that cross into many sectors, as we referenced earlier with the profile of projects that they've completed.
And then last one for me, like, as you think about the self-perform capabilities within Jacob and your ability to apply them into other parts of your business, is there any particular services where you think it's going to be, like, very helpful, or where you really see that's going to be a strong point?
Yeah, I think it's, and again, the merger of the two businesses certainly have complementary and unique services. I said earlier about the resume we have on alliances and that type of thing. I think anytime you have a company our size, we have an extensive, you know, ability on proposals and development. We've got, you know, strong support in many areas, obviously across people and culture, across safety, you know, across, you know, all the proposals and things we do. I think being a public company is a benefit, given that we're, you know, we're in the press, you know, in the sense of the profile of the business. It's attractive for recruiting. We've got, you know, high engagement in our organization. So I think it's just, there's a lot of benefits that come from that. I think the team at Jacobs, with their profile in BC, it just gives us a great foundation. They're obviously the type of company that's first in on large, you know, projects. But it just gives us a, you know, a again, another tool in our belt that we've got a multitude of offerings for clients. And as these, you know, as this market evolves, client projects, you know, are getting more complex, larger in scale. And, you know, in that sense, I think the combination of the two businesses is going to be a very attractive entity for partnering with other companies in the country, as well as, you know, working jointly on opportunities that we have.
Perfect. I appreciate the context. Thanks very much. I'll turn the call over.
Thanks, Steve.
The next question is from Maxine Sytchev with National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Max.
And Terwain, obviously, congrats on the deal. Just wanted to ask you a question around the margin differential between the acquired entity and kind of the legacy board. Do you mind maybe providing a bit more color around the reason for that? Is it sort of the equipment component, CapEx intensity? I guess, are you comfortable with, you know, the controls and systems that are in place? Just if you don't mind providing a bit of color, it would be super helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, so there, you're right in the sense of the you know, that profile is, you know, it's directly attributable to, you know, the CapEx, you know, requirements of the business. This is a really well-run business with very solid systems and controls and operates, you know, at a very high level. I think fits together very nicely with us. Through, you know, an extensive due diligence, you know, time frame, we were able to get, you know, quite comfortable. We work with a number of outside agencies to support, you know, our reviews, and it was a good journey for us. You know, like I said, we had a very good, you know, partnership right from the get go, and it proved out through due diligence that everything that was indicated was there, and everything that, you know, was highlighted, you know, was exactly what it was highlighted to be. So we had a very successful journey. It was extensive. Our team worked incredibly hard for the last few months to get to this place. So I want to thank them for that effort that they put in.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's super helpful. Thank you. And then, Terry, I think you mentioned that the top line of the acquired asset was relatively consistent. So how should we think on a prospective basis in terms of growth? Should it be similar to, I guess, what Bird as kind of the mothership is doing on a prospective basis? Thanks.
Yeah, it's early days, Max, but I think, you know, there's certainly potentials there. You know, we are, you know, certainly when you see the market, the way it's evolving in BC and the demands in so many areas, I think, and that was one of the attractions from the company to us, you know, in their interest in joining Bird was to have a larger scale to respond to some of these opportunities. So I think that's quite exciting. The cross-selling opportunities here are significant. So I think, you know, in that sense, and I think we've just developed a really good reputation in our industry for being very professional at how we acquire and integrate businesses, and we've got a tremendous track record in that. So that made this a smooth process. But yeah, the opportunities are very exciting as to what's happening in that market, and we get to see that market every day with our existing businesses. You know, we have a large electrical business, we have a large, you know, building business, we've got large industrial projects underway across manufacturing and mining and obviously LNG. So, you know, it's a big market for us now that with this acquisition.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. That's it for me. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Max.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from Frederic Bastien with Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys, and congrats on the deal.
Thank you.
I'm fairly comfortable with the rationale and everything behind that, so I was just going to focus on a couple of modeling questions, if you don't mind. I would assume, maybe I'm wrong, but is it fair to say or assume that there's a fair amount of seasonality in the business?
I think there is, but it's a little less seasonality than there is in markets like, you know, like Ontario and Alberta. You know, you don't get the significant freeze-thaw cycle, so there's some differences in that regard. So it's, to me, it would feel like a market that wouldn't have as severe a seasonality compared to a civil business in, you know, in northern Alberta or you know, Ontario per se, Quebec kind of thing.
Okay, maybe it's too early to say, but will you guys be able to tell us or at least provide some guidelines as to how to split that $300 million of revenue on a go-forward basis?
Yeah, when we come out, like after close, and in Q2 disclosures, and that will certainly have more information. But I think as a starting point for modeling, like, you know, as Terry said, there's probably a little less seasonality to this business than what you see on the average bird. But as a starting point for modeling, you know, I think you could probably take the weighting of each of the four quarters in terms of revenue flows and leverage that on this as well.
Okay, thanks for that. And then just moving on, second one would be around the capital intensivity of the business. Presumably, there's more CapEx tied to that business than the average bird. Any guidelines you can provide on either CapEx or what we should think about in terms of D&A, depreciation, and amortization on a go-forward basis?
Yeah, certainly. So the business is more capital intensive than the average of the bird portfolio, but not dissimilar to, you know, what other infrastructure businesses we have in our portfolio are. But certainly, you know, when on a consolidated bird, when you take the buildings business, for example, it's less capital intensive than this. I think CapEx on a go-forward basis, it's certainly going to be driven by project mix and needs, but, you know, plus or minus, you're probably looking at $8 million of CapEx, maybe nine, somewhere in that order of magnitude. One of the things that we kind of said, well, you know, if you get 9%, revenue growth, if you're building this off of consensus estimates, as the chart we had there, well, you're going to get 21% EBITDA growth. You know, the reason you're getting 10% accretion is, you know, the depreciation is running higher than, say, the average of bird. So we can think about this business on an EBIT basis too.
Okay, no, we can work that backwards. So appreciate the color. Thanks again.
Yep.
This concludes the question and answer session. I'd like to hand the call back over to Mr. McKibben for any closing remarks.
Well, thank you, everyone, for taking the time to join our Jacob Brothers acquisition call this morning. We're excited to welcome Jacob Brothers to the team and look forward to seeing what we can accomplish together.
This brings to a close today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.